This is the doubleheader. I'm Hari Srinivas, and I'm joined by Mark Shields and David Brooks, where we talk about the politics of sport and the sport of politics. Thanks so much for being with us. I see it gets a chuckle out of you every time. So let's talk about, you wanted to talk about The Good Wife. And speaking of wives, Clarence Thomas, who might have had the worst week in Washington, D.C. this week. His wife left a voicemail for Anita Hill. What do you guys think?
Why would she do it? Why would she call 7:30 on Saturday morning to Brandeis University? Why, when Anita Hill got the message, why would she turn it over to the campus police? Why? 19 years later? Yeah. I don't think it's going to turn out the way that Mrs. Thomas hoped. I mean, because it's brought other people forward with their own stories that validate Anita Hill's position, and it just, I think it's going to not be helpful.
Yeah, I don't know Ms. Thomas, but the only observation I would make is that you think, when you talk to people who've been involved in scandals in Washington, you always want to stay off the topic of the scandal, but they never want to. They want to talk about it, and that they never get over it. That it burns in the heart, and in general, they want to come back and convince you of their side of the scandal. And obviously, Ms. Thomas thinks her husband was completely innocent and was hoping for some magic justification, but I can tell her that ain't gonna happen.
If you're in that position, you have to believe that your spouse is innocent. I mean, you know, that you have to believe your spouse, whatever your spouse is. And you have to, therefore, ascribe to the other side, to the those who are making the charges, the worst of all possible motives. And I don't think it's any accident that it happened the same day that it was a front page piece in David's newspaper, in the New York Times, about Mrs. Thomas and her political activism. Yeah. So, you know, I think there may have been triggering items here.
And Lillian McEwen, the woman who was dating or in a relationship with Clarence Thomas at the time, she's out shopping her book around, and she's now...
She did a nice job by getting in the Washington Post in about 3,000 words.
I don't think so much of her. I mean, she was shut up. She was quiet through the whole scandal, and now when she's trying to make some money off a book, she shops this story. So I don't know if it's true or not.
I never expect that from people in Washington, D.C.
She said she testified at the time, didn't she? As I recall it, what happened was Anita Hill testified.
Right.
And then Clarence Thomas did this rebuttal, and I'm being subjected, played the race card very effectively. This is a high-tech lynching. And all of a sudden, public opinion swung in his direction. Mm-hmm. So any interest in getting further witnesses on the part from the senators just totally melted away. I mean, Senator Kennedy was not going to lead that fight, given his own kind of checkered public personal career at that point. And, you know, nobody was really eager to pick it up. And so I think, you know, I really think that he won the day. Clarence Thomas really was effective in making the case that he be confirmed, and he stopped essentially all any further criticism of him on that ground.
All right, and then as hard-hitting as this show is, let's talk about some hard hits. The NFL deciding to change some rules. We saw a couple of really unbelievable hits, and not in a, oh, wow, they really stopped the guy. I mean, these were people knocked out cold last week, and so what do you think?
That was just me and Mark walking down the hallway of the studio. He headbutted me.
You should have seen us just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Fortunately, I had my helmet on.
Helmet on, right. Yeah. Did he?
He had no pads, though. No, David doesn't play with pads.
But what do you think? Is it a change in the nature of the game?
Let's hope.
Yeah, I think they should sit some people down. There was a big hit, I think, by Brown on a Steeler. I've forgotten. I've seen
Steeler
it a million.
Brown, yeah.
I've seen it a million times on ESPN.
And there was another one. Was it the Eagles, right? Somebody else. It was an Eagles one that just got laid out.
Somebody clocked Tony Romo on an unfortunate pass. But, you know, I think they should sit some people down every week until people stop doing it. It's just the attitude. One of the guys who did the hit said, I meant to hurt him. I didn't mean to injure him. Yeah. Well, the mentality has to be, I didn't mean to hurt him either. Yeah. I just meant to tackle him.
That's the guy that turned down the Rhodes Scholarship to go to the
NFL. But, you know, the purists say, listen, I mean, we pay these folks to go out there. It's a gridiron. It's a war.
It's a gridiron? Come on. The gridiron is because they draw the damn lines on it, not because it's literally a gridiron. I mean, this isn't the Lions and the Christians, for God's sakes. We paid for them.
But you can lead. I mean, from my vast NFL experience, I assume you can lead with your shoulder pad, not with your helmet. That's all you have to do.
All right. Mark Shields, David Brooks, thanks so much. As always, this has been another episode, gripping as it was, of The Doubleheader. Thanks for joining us. I'm Hari Srinivasan.